begin speaking, continuing what I began last Sunday night, and we're looking at the seven I am statements in the book of John. Now, I want you to know up front, there's more than just seven, but these are the highlights. These are the mountain peaks of the I am statements, and we are going to talk about the I am. Somebody say, he's the I am. And the I am changes who I am. Amen? And they speak to us historically. You know, John was giving these I am statements historically in his record to tie Jesus with deity. He wasn't just a human being. He was God in the flesh, the Son of God and God the Son. They speak to us these I am statements corporately as a church, for he walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And I'm going to tie that in with the message in just a few minutes. And it speaks to us not only historically, corporately, but individually. You see, for each person, he wants to be to you the I am. And all that he wants to do, not only does he want to be to you the I am, but he wants to do things through you. And we can find all of this in these seven statements. Now, I want to go through them real quick, the seven that I'll be preaching from. And John 6:35 says, I am the bread of life. Next one, John 8:12. Read it out loud with me. I am the light of the world. Now go to John chapter 10, verse 9. It says, I am the door. John 10:11. Are we there yet? John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. Say it again. I am the good shepherd. Go to John 11:25. It says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now go to John 14:6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the last one, John 15:1, I am the true vine. I am. The I am changes who I am. Would you stand with me tonight? And let's go to John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Amen. If you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. We'll see you tomorrow night in Benson for the leadership rally. It's going to be good. I always know Westmoreland has a great crowd that comes out all through the years. Amen. I'm getting a part of that. John chapter 8 and verse 12. If you're there, say amen. Read it out loud with me, the whole verse. Everybody out loud, ready? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Anoint the speaking and preaching of your word, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see them in the Lord's house tonight. Now, we're reading John chapter 8, verse 12. Let me give you the context of how this passage came to be. Really, what was happening is in John chapter 7. In fact, the first part of John chapter 8 is taken out of sequence. So if you'll go back to John chapter 7, verses 1 through 2, this is where Jesus makes this statement. And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Go to verse 2. Now, the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. So Jesus makes this statement during the feast of tabernacles. Well, what was the Feast of Tabernacles? It was, and by the way, brother, if you have that picture there of the Feast of Tabernacles, just give me a thumbs up if you're able to pull it up. And if you don't, that's fine. But in Jerusalem, what they would do to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles was that they would camp out in tents. And it would remind them, it was a feast to remind them of how God provided for them in the wilderness journey. You remember that wilderness journey where they came out of Egypt. And for 40 years, God provided for them manna and water and quail. How God protected them, the cloud by day and the what? fire by night. And so what they would do to commemorate the fire by night is they would light several large lights or candelabras, and they would bring a menorah and light it at night. So get the picture. At nightfall, when the sun went down, they would light these fires, and they would do that to commemorate the light of the fire by night, to commemorate that in a dark time in their journey, that God was light for them. And it's in the midst of the Feast of Tabernacles where they're shouting over that the light of the fire by night of their history, that he says, while they're shouting and dancing, he says, I am the light of the world. In other words, I'm much better than that fire by night. You see, that was then, this is now. That light went out, but my light will never go out. That light was for Moses and the Jews, but I'm the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Would you give him praise that he is the light of the world? And I want you to know tonight that you may be in darkness of sin. You may be in a wilderness situation like they were at that time, not sure what tomorrow holds. You may be confused and not sure which way to go. But I'm here to tell you that the I Am is here, and he's about to light it up, and he is the light of the world. Can you say amen tonight? And I want to give you four things on this I Am statement. Number one, the declaration. Say the declaration. Jesus wasn't saying, I'm one of many lights. He said, I'm the light. He didn't say, I am a light, like a Christmas string of lights. No, he said, I am the light. And he said, I'm not the light of the Jews or the light of the Americans or the Republicans. He said, I am the light of the, he was making a declaration. I am the light of the world. Kind of think of it like the lights in your house. You have a light in the kitchen. You have a light in the living room. You have a light in the bedroom. You have a light all over. But if I go outside and I find the panel box and there's one master switch, if I flip that thing to off, the light in the kitchen's not going to burn. The light in the living room's not going to burn. The light in the bedroom's not going to burn. Well, that's the way it is with Jesus. He is the light. And all these other lights, they can shine if they want to, but if he's not shining, it's darkness. Can you say amen? He is the light. He is the breaker switch. He is the light that lights every other light. You see, John has already said this. Go to John chapter 1 and verse 4. It says in John 1 and verse 4, in him was life, and the life was what? Now go down to verse 8 through 9. Verses 8 through 9. It says that Jesus was the true light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. The truth of the matter is, this is a dark world. We talk about the dark ages. I'm telling you, this is a dark world. We're still in the dark ages. And don't you seem to think that it's getting darker all the time? CNN is going to host a 7-hour LGBTQ forum on their network coming up for the elections. Think of the murder. Think of the abortion. Think of child abuse. Think of the evil. It just seems that it's getting darker and darker. But my friend, the answer is not a presidential candidate alone. The answer is not a Facebook post. The answer is not some person or some money or more government or more money. The answer to the darkness is the light of the world. Can you give him praise here tonight? Amen. Brother Blue, see if you can find that picture of North Korea, if you can find, if you can't find. But to the darkness of falsehood, he is the light of truth. To the darkness of ignorance, he is the light of wisdom. To the darkness of sorrow, he is the light of joy. To the darkness of death, he is the light of life. There's a fascinating look here at the peninsula, the Korean peninsula. South Korea is a democracy. They are very innovative. Would you know that the Christian church in South Korea is one of the strongest churches in the world? One of the largest churches is in Seoul, South Korea. They have religious freedom. They have democracy. But along the 38th parallel is where you get into North Korea. You've seen the dictator on the news. Thank you, Lord, that our president has broken a barrier. has met with this dictator and tried to persuade him and to change. But at night, there's the satellite imagery. And at night, you see from Earth, you see from outer space when the camera's looking down, it picks up the lights. And in South Korea, you see that country where Jesus is Lord, where there are churches, where there's democracy, there's light all over that country at night. But just across that 38th parallel, what do you see? The only place that's even minutely lit is Pyongyang, the capital where the dictator Kim Jong-un is residing. The rest of the country is in darkness. And that's what Satan wants to do to every teenager. That's what Satan wants to do to every church. That's what Satan wants to do to your mind. He wants to bring darkness. But come on across that 38th parallel. Get into the altar. Get into the book. He is the light of the world. Somebody give him praise in this house tonight. The declaration, I am the light of Korea and of Japan and of America and Africa. I'm the light of the world. That's the declaration. Number two, consider the word. Number two, preservation. Preservation. Because what are we talking about? Remember the Feast of Tabernacles commemorated them staying in the wilderness and God preserving them during some difficult times. It really speaks to us that in the wilderness, that in the tough times, in the dark times, He will take care of us. I said in the dark times, He will take care of us. I mean, do you think dark? Now, I talked about nationally, but sometimes dark times come to us personally. Sometimes they come to us corporately. But listen to what Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10 says. Isaiah says, who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant and walks in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and what? Stay upon his God. You see, notice it says that you at times walk in darkness and have no light. Now, you might be contradictory. No, I'm not contradictory. I'm here to tell you that there are some dark times that come into the believer's life. Times you don't feel God. Times you don't know which way to turn. Times you'll be confused. It could be a health issue. Could be a marriage issue. Could be a child issue. Job even said this in Job chapter 19 and verse 8. Job chapter 19 and verse 8. He said, he hath set darkness in my paths. Have you got a picture of that eclipse up there, brother? If you do, just put that up there. You see, every now and then, we go through some dark times. We go through some wildernesses. And it's sort of like, woo, sort of like that eclipse. How many of you remember the last eclipse? I stood outside of Best Buy and we had those glasses and I looked up there. And I saw that thing. I mean, everybody was so excited about getting dark for 5 minutes. Really? But to make, you know, I did go to East Carolina, so I got a college degree, but I wasn't in physics or science. I can promise you that. But I'm going to make the complex real simple. An eclipse happens when the light from the sun gets blocked by the moon. Do you know how big the sun is relative to the moon? The sun is like as big as this room, and the moon is like the tip of my thumb. I mean, relatively speaking. But just the way we position, at certain times, the way things happen, somebody say things happen, come on. Sometimes things just happen. Every now and then from our vantage point, because we're closer to the moon than we are to the sun, it's like the moon that is little bitty teeny small looks like it becomes really big and it darkens things. Oh, I'm about to shout here tonight. Because every now and then we'll have an eclipse. Every now and then some little thing will come up. But it seems like a big thing. It seems like a big trial. Seems like a big mountain. But I'm here to tell you that He is the light of the world in the eclipse. You stay upon God. You trust Him. Because it is a small thing to Him. And He is a way maker and a chain breaker. He is the light of the world. And you're coming through there. It didn't come to stay. The eclipse has come to pass. fact, if you really want to do an experiment, go out tonight and see the moon shining and hold your thumb between your eye and the moon, and your little bit thumb will look like it's bigger than the moon. And that's the way our problems are to God Almighty. I'll tell you little things. Oh, let me tell you, Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 19. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light and thy God glory. Go to Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Micah chapter 7 verse 8 says, when I sit in darkness, when I'm in an eclipse, what does it say, church? The Lord shall be a light. He's going to preserve my going out from this time forth forevermore. Celebrate God. Celebrate He is the light of your world. Not just the world, but of your world. You know, we talk about movies. There's a reason they cut the lights off at movies. Because the light coming from the movies becomes more vivid when you sit in darkness. And sometimes when we sit in darkness, we can see His glory even better. He is the light of the world. He is, that's the declaration. That's the preservation. And I want to talk to you, number three, about a thought here, the sanctification of it. The sanctification. What do you mean? What do you mean, the sanctification? Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Say it with me. I am the light of the world. Let me say this to you. How do you think God shines His light in the world? I'll give you the answer real quick. Through us. Now, I told you that the I am statements are not only what Jesus wants to do for us, but the I am statements sometimes refer to what Jesus wants to do through us. If He is the light of the world and He lives in us, then we're to be letting that light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, don't let the devil blow it out. Where's Carolyn Edwards when I need her? Sister Carolyn, if you're watching, I'm thinking of you right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say sanctification. Oh, we don't hear that preached a lot in other churches. We preach it a lot here. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 says, read it out loud. Everybody, read it out loud. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Thank God He is my light. Thank God He is a light to me. Thank God He is the light. Thank God He's my light. But I'm here to tell you, on my job and for my neighbors and for the children in school and for this dark world, we have got to let our light, we got to be sanctified to let our light shine. Amen. You see, in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, they would have these lights that were in glass and the fire would burn. But the glass would get dirty, wouldn't it? Amen. And you know what? They had to keep that thing clean. And you know what another word for clean is? Sanctified. Amen. Now, you can't let your light shine if you got a dirty old glass. Amen. Come on now. If you got a glass that's dirty, I mean, how are you going to let your light shine if your glass is dirty? You got to be a sanctified vessel. Amen. People can't see the light of Jesus if you're walking around complaining all the time, murmuring all the time. We as Christians should never murmur and complain in front of unbelievers. Look, when gas went up so high a few years ago and I'd get around a sinner, I would never complain about the gas being so high, because what the sinner's looking to me, I'm telling him about Jesus and I'm talking about how, well, gas is high. Brother, gas isn't my source. God is my source. I'm going to let the light come through. Amen, somebody. Oh, you can't let that light shine if you've got unforgiveness. Amen. You can't let that light shine if you're holding back your tithes because you don't like what the music sounds like. Come on now. Help me preach here tonight. Come on now. Until they play my favorite song, I'm going to just hold my tithes. And your light's not shining. I promise you right now. Somebody let your light shine. You go on and love people. You go on and give to God according to His word. And I'll tell you, you'll be a blessing to this old sin and dark cursed world. Every last one of us should let our light shine. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. And advertise for Jesus. Give Him a hand of praise. Sanctified. Holy. You over there popping a Budweiser and drinking it? Now listen, don't make this complicated. Well, the Bible doesn't say it. Look, you popping a Budweiser, your light's not shining. That's just simple. Because you're telling people you need beer more than you need the Spirit. We don't need beer. We don't need alcohol. We don't need drugs, marijuana. We don't need cocaine, heroin. Why do those people take those drugs? Because they're looking for something. And you're over here taking it. I thought you found something. Yes, the light is in my life. I don't need that stuff. I'm going to be sanctified holy unto God. Amen. You're gossiping about people. I better move on. I'm going to get in trouble here tonight. Oh, this little light of mine, I want to let it shine. In fact, here's another good one I thought about. We just had that hurricane. So we put, don't you hate it when you need a flashlight and you cut it on and that's a little dim light? I mean, this is dim. And you know what the problem is? What's the problem? Woo, that's so good. I love it. I love it. You got it. The batteries is dead. I can't handle that old dead flashlight. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They're a flashlight. They're a mag light. Amen. That's a bright light. I got a flashlight this long, brother. And if the lights are out, I'm telling you, it is just about fire up my whole house. But if those batteries are dead, it ain't going to help me. I'm going to stump my toe. My friend, we need our batteries charged. We need a fresh anointing. We need revival. We need to get in touch with the Master and let their light shine. Somebody stand and give him a praise break. And let your praise shine through. And let his glory shine through. Let the light of the world. Come on, Westmoreland. Let's shine the light of holiness. Turn around and tell somebody, I'm a bright light for Jesus. You may be seated. I'm a bright light. I'm going to keep them batteries charged. Charged by the word of God. That's the declaration, the preservation, the sanctification. And finally, it speaks of salvation. Go to John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And go down to John chapter 9 and verse 5. He says it again. John 9 and 5 says, when I'm in the world, I am in the light of the world. Now, you know, in John chapter 9, I don't have time to read the whole passage. But we go from John 7 at the Feast of Tabernacles and then John 8 where he says, I'm the light. Then you go to John 9 and he's confronted by a man who was born blind. We know him in the Bible. We don't know his name. We just know him as the man born blind. And Jesus healed him. And he made the mistake of healing him on the Sabbath. And the Jews thought that was wrong to heal a man on the Sabbath. Well, Jesus invented the Sabbath. He can break the rules because he made the rules. When you're the boss, you get to do that. Amen. When you own something, it's you. Hallelujah. And by the way, he didn't really break the Sabbath. The Sabbath was intended to be a blessing. He was fulfilling the Sabbath, not breaking it. Those guys were all steeped in some religious tradition, and they knew that boy was born blind, and they went over there and they made the statement. They said that Jesus is a sinner, and he can't open the eyes of the blind. Go to John chapter 9, verse 1. They said there's no way Jesus could have done that. He is a liar, and this is these Pharisees talking about Jesus. Look at John chapter 9, verse 24. And then again they called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man, talking about Jesus, is a sinner. Can you believe they said that? Go to verse 25. He answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was, now I see. And that's the way it is when we get saved. See, sin blinds you. Pleasures of sin blind you. Putting judgment to come far away, long away, blinds you and dulls you. Sinners are under blinders. I didn't put the scripture in my notes tonight, but there's a passage that says, whom the God of this world hath blinded them. You remember the apostle Paul, before he was the apostle Paul, he was Saul, and God shone a light, and the Bible says the scales fell off of his eyes. There's blindness in sin and drugs and in relationships and people committing adultery and evil and Satan, and we are blinded by, I was blinded by sin. John Newton said, I once was blind, but now I what? Let me tell you about salvation. It's so wonderful. And you know what happens when you get saved? Literally, in a sense, the blinders come off. And you see, wow, what have I been missing? I see the love of God. I see the old rugged cross in a new way. I see the Bible comes alive. Oh, thank God. Are you saved tonight? Has the blinders come off? Have you fully embraced Jesus? If you haven't fully embraced Jesus, you're still being blinded. I wish I could show you, and I'm getting ready to bring this to a close, but I wish I could show you. I have the clip on at home, and I started to show you tonight. But anybody ever heard of Helen Keller? She was blind and deaf. And she was in a pitiful situation as a child. And they called in a lady. Her family was called in a lady to help her communicate and learn. I mean, you can't see, you can't hear. And the girl, Helen Keller, was wild. She was uncontrollable. She didn't know up from down, in from out. Can you only imagine? And this lady had to be tough, had to really, really bring her and break that from her. And that movie, there's a 1980 movie of it called Miracle Worker, but this is that movie, vintage classics with Anne Bancroft and Patty Duke. Sister Patsy, amen. That's the one to watch. Go on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and say Miracle Worker, like Helen Keller scene, and it'll show you where Helen Keller just threw water down, and her mom and dad were trying to protect her because the woman was being a little tough, and she's like, leave me alone, I got to get through to this child. And she took that child and Helen Keller, and she began to pump water, and she began to write in her fist, W-A-T-E-R, and finally in the black and white movie, it hits that blind and deaf girl. All of a sudden, she gets frozen, and it's like this. And she begins to write water, and she begins to say water, and then she sees her mother and father comes out, and she says, mother, and she said, in other words, for Helen Keller, the lights came on. And in that movie, if you could see that movie, how Helen Keller and that family is just rejoicing. And next time I preach this, I'll play you that clip. And they're so happy because something happened. The lights came on. Maybe her blinded eyes weren't open, but her mental eyes were open. And my friend, when I saw that movie the first time, that black and white movie, when I saw it, and I saw Helen Keller's eyes go off it per se, and I saw the rejoicing, I said, that's exactly what happens when a sinner comes to Jesus. They're like, wow, what have I been missing? He is the light of the world. Would you stand with me tonight, and would you just praise Him? Would you just lift your hands to Him? Would you just thank Him that your eyes are open tonight? Oh, would you just praise Him? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you open the eyes of the blind. Thank you, Lord, that I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, I thank you, Lord. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Before I play this again, I want to ask you tonight, as our pastor comes to help. First of all, are you saved? Do you really have the blinders off? Do you really know how wonderful Jesus is? The Bible says, oh, taste and see that what the Lord is good. Bow your heads right now and ask Jesus into your heart if you don't know Him. Dear Lord, pray this prayer. Open my eyes that I may see Jesus. Too many times we see people, what they've done to us, how they've hurt us. But you need to see Jesus, how He's precious and beautiful. He died for your sins. Ask Him into your heart right now. Now you can look up if you don't mind. If you're in a wilderness right now, if you're going through some dark times, I want you to step out of your seat because I want Him to open your eyes. So if you're in an eclipse right now, would you, as we sing this, in fact, all of us, if we would come and Pastor will close us in prayer around the altar. But if you're going through a dark time now, He wants to be the light to you. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love.
Let me say one more thing.
Amazing grace.
If you're a Christian and you need to get re-sanctified, maybe there's some things that are, maybe your battery is a little low. Pastor, pray for us tonight that those batteries will be charged, that we'll be clean tonight.
My chains are gone.
Brother Ray.
I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood,
He's my fire by night.
Unending love, amazing grace.
Glory.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me.
If you're going through depression,
and like a flood,
if you're depressed,
He
is your life.
Unending
we come
love,
against depression. We come against suicide.
Amazing grace.